You're listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. Today, I want to talk about placebo response and factors that drive placebo response, and also some design things that we can do about it. So stay tuned to this episode. If you want to improve study design around placebo response, you need to convince your colleagues about all kinds of different things. And some of these design aspects can be actually quite expensive and at least unusual. And maybe your colleagues have never heard about it, or they don't have a good understanding of what actually placebo response is. In these situations, you will need to convince your colleagues, your medics, your regulatory people, and maybe even you will need to convince regulators. Now, how do you do this? You can't just command them and tell them. What you can, however, do is you can convince them. And there are lots of different ways and resources you can have to convince them. If you think that the only way you convince them is through your logic and your statistics, then you are thinking too short. There are lots of other things you need to consider and where you can also improve. For this, we have developed the Effective Statistician Leadership Program. And please check this program out on the Effective Statistician homepage. The one with Mastermind starts again end of April. And this is another chance for you to enroll into this program as an individual. If your company is interested in enrolling, let's say 10, 20 or more people, then just contact me at alexander@theeffectivestatistician.com. If you as an individual want to get into the program, then also you can send me an email or set up a short meeting with me via the homepage. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to PSI at psiweb.org to learn more about it and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician. Today we want to talk about placebo. There are a lot of misperceptions actually about placebo. The first misperception is that it is no treatment. Well, that is in most cases not true, because placebo means that you just have a placebo treatment on top of standard of care. And so that usually doesn't mean no treatment whatsoever. So that is the first thing that we need to understand. It doesn't mean no treatment. It just means that beyond all the usual things that the patient gives and that the protocol allows, of course, there is also this placebo injection pill whatsoever. Now, even if there's very, very little standard of care, there is still usually a lot of placebo response. Well, of course, it depends on the different indications, but it's surprisingly big and widespread. Now, there's a couple of things that can drive placebo response. And one of the important things is the perception of the patients. Now, what actually drives the perception of the patients? So first, there is the ratio of the randomization. If you have a one-to-one randomization, the placebo response is sometimes actually smaller than if you, let's say, have a randomization of 3-to-1 in favor of the active group. That has been studied in depression studies. And so that ratio, so the expectance of whether how likely it is that patients get placebo, actually drives the placebo response. Another thing is, of course, the strength of the anticipated treatment. So these can go in various directions. If the strength of the treatment response is very big, patients will notify and notice that they are not on treatment. Yeah, because they know that, well, if I take that medication, then my symptoms surely will go away. And only if I don't take it, then they will stay. So the perception about the strength of the medication will definitely drive it. Actually, also on the other side, so there's also the so-called nocebo effect. So patients will experience side effects under placebo if they think these side effects should occur under the actual treatment. Also, the pretreatment might drive placebo response. So if they already had exposure to similar treatments, things like that, that can have an impact on the strength of the placebo response. So naive patients usually behave differently to placebo than pretreated patients. The other thing is then, of course, also the perception from the physicians, because there is very often a very close relationship between the physicians and the patients. And so the perception about of the physician, likewise as the patients, will drive these kind of different things. And don't think that patient-reported outcomes are an exception from that. There is a very, very strong bond between physicians and patients in many cases. And so any expectations on the physician side will also transition over to the patient side. Now, these are very often, the most commonly mentioned placebo responses. And when you talk to non-statisticians, they say, placebo response, but, you can also see it in horses or, all kind of other animals. And they don't have these perceptions and things like that. Well, yeah, there's still the observer bias. However, there's also the regression to the mean and just the natural variability of the condition. Usually, we study patients only when their symptoms are very, very strong. And when there is a natural variation over time, then just by chance and just by, how patients would usually evolve, that is especially true, for example, in depression, anxiety, pain, and many other areas where symptoms fluctuate over time. And when we only include patients with a certain level of symptoms, the certain severity of the symptoms, then naturally they will always kind of improve afterwards. Another aspect, and that is the intensity of how we kind of study the patients in a sense. So if we have a lot of visits, if we'll have a lot of instruments, if we have a lot of different measurements, all kind of different things, this will drive placebo response, because this kind of intensity of care, of the interactions will drive placebo response. This is especially true in mood disorders, for example. If you have more interactions with the physicians, just that by itself can drive improvement in terms of the symptoms. The administration route might also play a big role. So different administration routes can lead to different placebo response just because the different perceptions that it comes with. Patients will think about a pill very different to, for example, an injection or multiple injections, many injections. Yeah, this might drive a bigger placebo response. And finally, just different other design aspects within the study may have an influence on the placebo response. The duration of the treatment or the placebo treatment can have an influence. And also the ability whether patients can switch to another treatment thereafter, once they haven't responded, can have an impact on that. So be careful for all these different factors. There are lots of different design aspects that can help you to, for example, blind these things. Different depression, anxiety, and other studies have, for example, blinded lead-in periods, so the patients actually don't know when they will switch from placebo to active treatment, or when they switch from active to placebo treatment. Or they might, have always a certain time period and only thereafter they can start with the new treatment. There are many, many different ways you can reduce or manage the placebo response. You can even have a run-in period on placebo and then only randomize those that haven't responded to placebo. Now, these are, of course, all kind of different things that also potentially have an influence on the S demand, and they definitely should be discussed with the different regulators. Helping your non-statistical colleagues to better understand placebo response and all the different factors that influences will also be really, really important so that they understand all these different origins of placebo response. And don't assume that they know everything about placebo response. So this was a shorter episode about a little bit more technical problem. Depending on your therapeutic area you're working on in it, this will be a bigger or smaller problem. I know that in certain indications, it's no problem whatsoever, at least on the efficacy side, because the treatment effects are that big. And then, of course, the study more or less unblinds itself, or side effects are that big that it also unblinds itself. Well, nevertheless, think about what happens in your specific area. And sometimes it even makes sense to invest more into understanding placebo response in your area. For these cases, it is really helpful to work across different companies, across the industry, so that as a whole, you can understand better placebo response and what drives it. For that, there's lots of different data sharing opportunities. And there's, for example, the Clinical Study Data Request Consortium that you can have a look into, and there's some other consortium. It could also be that potentially you can work with regulators on that. Maybe they can be a help there as well. I don't know that specifically. So if you found this episode helpful, then please share it with your colleagues. This is an episode that is beyond the 350 mark episode of this podcast, and there's lots to learn within the statistics field, not just about technical things like this, but also many, many other aspects. So please recommend this podcast to your colleagues. Don't forget about the leadership program. Just head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and learn more about it. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Raina and her team at VVS, who helped with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.